Hey, I'm Derek Webb, and thanks so much for being part of the Middle Class Musician course. This is going to be kind of an introduction video, a little bit of philosophy, a little bit of some basic principles and things to get us started. We're going to cover, other than this general section, four other sections: songwriting, touring, recording, and kind of the basics of getting your business set up. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being part. And so I've got my laptop and I've got my coffee and I've got my notes and now I've got you. So welcome to my studio and we'll spend some time in here over these videos learning about these things. And so I want to start by stating a few goals. That whether you are currently making your living playing music and that's all you do, or if you have just always dreamed of playing music for a living, or maybe just doing it with some small part of your time, which I'll talk about later in terms of how I feel like those proportions make the most sense for a good work-life balance. I think our time spent together is going to be helpful. And so I really appreciate you being here with me. So let's start with some good news. The good news is that there has never been a better time to be an independent or middle-class musician. There's never been a better time in history than right now. So you've probably heard people talk about how the music business is a wreck and in disrepair, and no one's making any money anymore, no one's buying records. And on the whole, they might be right. But what I can tell you is that because of the shifts that have happened in the business, this is kind of our time now. We've gone from a time of a kind of hit-driven, huge artists, rock stars and superstars are the only ones making a living at it, to now a business of 1,000 niche artists, which is to say that there are fans for everybody. And so essentially what that means is if your ego can bear it, and you can stand to not make, seven figures in a calendar year, there is a great middle class blue collar living for you in music. Now, that said, let me state some rules. Now, I know, this is rock and roll, so there's not supposed to be rules, but there are some rules to this. And these are important, and I'm going to come back to these few things again and again and again. These are going to be, this is the grid through which we're going to look at all the rest of this. Because there are certain rules you just cannot break. And the only real important one is rule number one. And rule number one is be great. Be great. And unfortunately, you cannot break that one. So it doesn't matter how good you are at social media and self-promotion and whatever else, rules two through 10. If you're breaking rule number one, it's probably not going to work. You have to be great. And maybe another way of saying that is you have to be resonant with a particular audience. You have to have, there have to be people who resonate with your story, with what you're saying, the way you're saying it. And there has to be, there's just, it goes into that craft part of it where, and the good news is this is something you can improve at. You can, and hopefully even during the hours we'll spend together, we'll all come out of this as better writers, better, recorders of our music, people who know how to tour better. But so these are things you can improve, but it be great, unfortunately, is a prerequisite. So that's rule number one, and you can't break it. Now, that said, the business being what it is, that's also not enough. As I've said many times before, I am easily the least talented of all my friends who make a living playing music. I have friends who are 50 times more talented than me at everything I do who don't make a living playing music. They do other things. And I think that's for a few reasons. One is I think that they're good at other things also. And I'm not. I have skills in very few areas. I'm not good at much. I'm only good at a couple of things. And so I'm kind of forced to find a way to spend all my time doing those few things. That's one of the reasons that over the last 20 plus years, I've made a living at music, not because I'm super talented, but because I'm super tenacious and I'm adaptable. And that's also the good news, is you don't have to be the most freakishly talented person you know to be the one who winds up making a living at it out of your friends. Now, there's room for all of your friends and you to have fans and a living in the blue-collar music space. But if you're worried that you don't feel like you're talented enough, don't be too scared by rule number one. Because what it really takes more than anything, it does take being great, you know, being, you know, having that talent. I feel like I have the minimum viable amount of talent to make a living at this. But my success has come more in figuring out how to do a lot with a little, which is what I do. And so, so that's also the good news, is that, you know, there are a lot of things beyond just you wake up and you're Mozart or something. I mean, that's so few people that I've ever met. Most people who I know who do really well at it are ones who have enough talent to manage to write some decent songs and so on and so forth, but they fail well. They fail smart, which is something we'll definitely talk about. And they work really hard. And so if you really want a living and a life making things as a musician, it is here for you, and that is really good news. So rule number one, be great. The next thing that I can tell you is that a living in music is essentially what you are doing is running a small business. That's what it is. It's always more than that, but it's never not that. It is at least always running a small business. And so all the principles of running a small business apply here. Things like there will be times, sometimes long times of investment that yield seasons of return. But you have to think about the choices you're making in your career like you would think about running a small business. And I'm not trying to make it unromantic or uncool or anything like that. It's because what's cooler than having a living playing music for a year, 5, 10, 20 years? That's much cooler than having a happy-go-lucky, fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants approach and just saying, well, I'm just going to jump in a van and I'm going to be a sweet guy and go down and sing songs at the local club and just expect success. I mean, it doesn't usually work that way. You have to be organized. Here's the thing, like the best jobs in the world, and this is among them, you don't spend 100% of your time doing your favorite thing. You spend some of your time doing your favorite thing. In most jobs, you don't spend any of your time doing your favorite thing. The thing you would do for no money, the thing that you love doing, you wish you could spend your time doing. Even in the best jobs, you have to spend some of your time learning new skills and budgeting and, you know, learning how to do all the nuts and bolts and pieces of it that you don't want to do and that you'd rather somebody else do. But here's the thing, like, you just don't have that luxury anymore, because just like that, the flip side of the coin of that rule number one of be great is that if you're super talented and you're a great, sweet person and you have a really good voice, you can write really good songs, you're a really great musician, that's all fantastic. That's not enough. It's not enough. You have to also be willing to work hard and adapt and learn some new things and get organized and think about what you're doing with a bigger picture and a line of sight goals in mind, or else you're just not giving yourself the best chance to succeed at it and to have something sustainable and lasting and dependable, a real career. And just having that talent, that's great. But again, that is not enough. You have to learn some new skills. And for some of you, that's a real bummer. And for some of you, you're thinking, oh, well, I don't want to learn new skills. I have a lot of friends who are crazy talented and they just kind of say, well, you know what? I just want to play music though. I want other people to worry about the business, and I want other people to figure out my taxes, and I want other people to help me figure out how to, the days of that luxury of saying, I want someone else to do those things. I just want to sit here and just write my songs, and I want to show up and play shows and everybody show up and love me, are behind us at this point. That's just not how the music business works anymore. And the sooner that we can own up to that and we can learn how to adapt to it, the better for you, for your career, for the music that you're going to make in your future. So that is also the good news, because most of us are not freakishly talented. But I'd be willing to bet that if you realized that it meant you're being able to have a living and make money playing music, you'd be willing to learn some things. And I'm suspicious that that's what we're doing here. So that's another. So you're always running a small business. A career in music is always more than that, never not that. Here's one I'm going to come back to a lot of times, and that is the importance of data. Now, I haven't given my general background on this video. I will do that in case that's interesting. But I really am a nerd for data. And the one of the main reasons that I have had a career for so long is that I have made a real point of and have put a real emphasis on owning as much data on the people who seem to resonate with my music as possible, learning everything I can from that data, listening to it, and responding to the data. It is a way of digging tunnels under all the gatekeepers. We mostly got rid of the gatekeepers a decade or two ago when the music business, when the big disruption happened in the business. But there are still gatekeepers, and there are folks who, and these are great companies, great platforms. I'm thinking of, Apple and Amazon and Google, and they're great companies, and we're going to talk about how to use all these companies to distribute your music, but they are in the customer acquisition business. That is what they do. They own customers, and that's fine. And it's not as though I would have you compete with that, because you can't, because they're too big, and they have too many customers for your music, and you're going to want to put your music in front of those people. Because you cannot change those people's consumption habits, which is another thing we'll talk about later. But what I can tell you is that does not mean that along the way you shouldn't be harvesting as much data on this group of people as you possibly can. It benefits you and them for you to do that, which we'll talk about later. But the importance of data and the value of data is something we're going to come back to a lot. These few last points... the non-negotiables, the rules that we're setting out, is to learn how to fail, to fail well and to fail smartly. And I can tell you that everything I know about making a living in music is not a result of my having succeeded at it. It is rather a result of my having failed at it. Failed at it a lot of times and in a lot of ways, both big and small, and learned a ton of stuff along the way. So most of what I will be taking you through over the course of these videos is every major principle that I will talk about will have its root in some major failure of mine. And sometimes I'll tell you those stories. Other times I will spare you. But it's true. It's how I've learned everything. And the better you can get at failing well and adapting more quickly from failure, the more that you're going to learn about how to run your career and what's going to be meaningful for you in your narrative as an artist. So it's a really important thing to learn. And it's not only failing well and failing smart, but not being discouraged by it. The majority of what you're going to do in your career, in your life, but in your career especially, is fail. It's the majority of what you're going to do. The majority is not going to be success. It's going to be failure. But it's going to make those successes so much more important. You're going to feel them so much more deeply. And unfortunately, most of the time, we don't stop to celebrate our successes. We blow past them really quickly. We don't even notice them. We kind of half expect that we should be succeeding. We're so hard on ourselves. But the tiniest failure, we can't let go of. And we get obsessed about. So that's why failure is so important, learning from it, not being discouraged from it, expecting that it's probably going to happen as we learn and as we grow, and it giving us opportunities to learn to do better. That is the only reason that I'm sitting here. So it's something we're going to talk a lot more about. The last thing of these core principles, the rules as I've laid them out, is to always aim small, to err small. In other words, the idea is not to go in and try to be, you know, Taylor Swift or U2 or Radiohead or, you know, I mean, yes, we should all be dreaming about the careers that we want, the artists we'd like to be, the opportunities we wish we had. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to focus on your first 10 steps as an investment into your first 100, as an investment into your first mile and your inevitable 10,000 miles that you'll go. The best advice that I have received that I would pass on to you here is start with the smallest iteration and version of it that you can get away with, really. And this is good. It's more good news. Nothing but good news here on this first video, that you want to start slow and small, and you want to grow it carefully and intentionally, and the way you do it to be the right way, and then you just let it build from there. If you skip all the important basic steps too quickly, then ironically the worst thing for you would be great success, because you're not ready for it and you don't have the foundation under you to be able to sustain it. And so if you grow slow and small, which is what we're going to talk about, both in terms of how you're recording your music and especially how you're touring and how you're approaching taking your music out on the road and selling it to people door to door, how you're distributing your music. If you get ahead of yourself and you try to jumpstart that too much, you're going to spend unnecessary money on it. You're going to waste time that you don't need to be wasting on it. And again, you won't be ready to scale it. You won't be ready to be able to scale the success that I hope that you'll find. And I know that seems intuitive, but you think, well, how do I get up in front of out from under the noise in the marketplace? You know, I think I just need to get the biggest bat I can and swing as hard as I can, which means I need to give up everything to get people who will give me every opportunity. If somebody says that they'll put my music all these places and they're going to change my life, and I have to follow every one of those opportunities and give everything up, including my publishing, and sign over everything for somebody who promised me that break because that's the only way I can do it. I think that the opposite is true. I think you need to take the least opportunity, go as slow and small as you can, until literally the thing begins to groundswell beneath you and naturally raise you up to tell you that you're ready for the next level. That is the best career. I have so many friends who are wildly successful in their careers, but unfortunately got famous too soon, were not ready to scale it, or maybe, and this is kind of a side comment of the always aim small, they got famous doing something that they don't like, that they don't think is good. And there's no worse curse on somebody than getting wildly successful at something you hate. And why that happens is because people are too anxious. Because, and this is, again, it goes back to the small business principle, it goes back to some other things that we've already talked about, but what happens is when you put a revenue burden on what you're doing as an artist too soon, and you want it to make you money too soon, you make bad choices about the art you're gonna make, how you're gonna make it, how you're distributing it, how quickly you're trying to scale it. If you're trying to for you to be too big and it to pay you too much too soon, if that happens too soon, then it opens you up to making all the compromises you believe you can make to jumpstart it in ways that are not going to be healthy for your art and for your career. And so, I mean, you can always, there are always going to be people who want shitty music. And so you can do that to some extent, and you might even be able to make some success out of that. The problem will be what happens when you find out that, oh no, I have a career now doing something that makes me miserable and that I deep down really think is terrible and don't have any respect for. I don't want that success for you / failure for you. That's the wrong kind. wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't you prefer to fail at something you love and that means everything to you, rather than failing at something that deep down you think is maybe terrible? I would rather us all fail at something we love, because when you do that, there's like it's there's no loss, because if you felt something you love, then you know it was the right thing, and you would do it again because it's the thing you love. It's the thing you're great at. It's the thing that you know that you have in you that you want to get out. And so if it didn't work, well, you try again, and you know it's worth it, and you know it's important. But when you fail at something that deep down you know is a compromise, or you're just trying to jump ahead of the line, and mitigate your risk in all these ways, that really you're missing all the best stuff. Learning how to build your career, learning how to do every job on your way to the job you want. Then not only did you fail, but you feel like a fool because you failed at something that deep down you didn't really want anyway. So again, really important, to aim small, to be willing to sacrifice for the thing you know is the right thing, especially when it comes to the art you're making. So those are the basic principles. And now let's have a little bit of a history lesson.